T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the office, we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
today on the show, we will be joined by Gary Parrish in the next segment. Talk college basketball with GP. He's firmly on the play Johnny Manziel deal, right? Just firmly on the play Johnny Manziel deal.
We'll
strategize about that in a little bit at some point during the course of the show. Chris Harrington will join us at 10 o'clock. As he does every day. Now, I will tell you this. Grizzlies won last night, right? Grizzlies beat the Thunder at home. And I look at 92.9 Twitter, and it said, check in tomorrow, full highlights. Calkins show celebrates blah like that, all that, right? Like we tend to do after wins. My heart's not in it. Let's see how this goes. Let's try just for a little bit. Let's just crank this up. See, crank up the win thing, and there you go. And big game for the Grizzlies last night. No Mike Conley. No Joakim Noah. They win anyway. Grit Grind is back, beating the Oklahoma City Thunder at home. Jonas Valanciunas
spinning on Adams, little fadeaway eight-footer is good. It's a 13-2 Grizzlies start, 8:55 remaining in the first quarter.
Well, and I like it, Eric. They're moving the basketball. They're taking what the defense gives them. But more importantly, they're being aggressive.
Jonas Valanciunas played 32 minutes last night. There is minutes inching up. And has been a revelation. The guy rolls out of bed getting double doubles. Here he is again.
DeLon Wright into the lane. Throws a wild pass. Carter saves it behind his back to Rab. Over to Wright. Oh, if he would have shot the three, it could have brought the house down. He gives it instead. Left block Valanciunas. Turnaround right-handed hook. The Grizzlies connect. Valanciunas the bucket. A little hustle and highlight reel stuff.
Yeah, my heart's not in it. I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why?
Yes, you may.
They're frustrating. I find this particular moment in Memphis sports history to be a frustrating moment in Memphis sports history.
And why do you feel that way?
On two fronts. One is, do what you're going to do if you're the Grizzlies, right? Mm-hmm. Do what you're going to do. If you're going to win, win. If you're going to lose, lose. Just, like, this is a team that beats playoff teams at home.
Yes.
Including last night.
Yes.
With no Mike Conley.
Like top four playoff teams.
And then loses to, who have they lost to lately? They've lost to Atlanta.
Where would you like to go?
They've lost to Orlando.
Washington?
So right now, whatever. Like, you can make your arguments about let's convey the pick, right? Let's finish ninth and convey the pick to Boston. You can make that argument, and that's fine. That's the side I've been on. Or you could make the argument, you know, the hell with this. Let's get the best shot at Zion and the best shot at a meaningful basketball player added to the mix. Let's do what we can do, right? Let's do everything we can do, and that would mean possibly whether you can catch Atlanta or could have. Let's say could have, had you not beaten those teams. Atlanta has 26 wins. You got 30. Had you not been screwing it up, you could have caught Atlanta.
Well, yeah. You lost to Houston. Just say you lose to Houston and Oklahoma City last night. That's two right there, and you could have easily found your way to another two.
There's a bunch of others in there. Wasn't there Utah? And there was they've won all these playoff teams they've been beating. So they could have gotten to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from the bottom.
Yes. I think they could have reasonably gotten to 5.
Could have gotten to 6. Still could get to 6.
Oh, yeah. I think five was more than reasonable. I think, as you pointed out earlier in the year, I don't think you were ever going to catch Chicago. They had just they started too far in front of you.
But now, if you had just not, like, for example, just not won last night, you would have conveyed the pick. You wouldn't have conveyed it, but you'd be in a position. And I will ask you this: do you think they tanked last night? No, they haven't been tanking because they need them to win.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so they're only – that's the problem.
What is happening here?
They're a half game back. Well, what's really happened is that everyone else around them is tanking and, like, not winning. And so the Grizzlies, despite losing on Friday and Saturday, they're still only a half game from the ninth spot.
No, they're very – like, it is
they
amazing.
They are right in the thick of
they
it.
They are right in the thick of it. I just –
quick shout out to New Orleans for
that. Well, then don't lose to Orlando. Like, don't lose to Orlando, don't lose to Atlanta, don't lose to Washington.
Well, I think they took a calculated risk. I think on Friday they thought, okay, well, this has not been a great road team. This team is particularly not a great road team when they go on the road in the East. So let's rest up Mike Conley. Let's keep him there for Saturday.
Oh, you think they were counting? So this was good last night. I should be celebrating this. They were counting on a loss.
Yes.
They said, we're going to lose anyway, this one.
Yes.
We're going to rest Mike.
Because,
right, Mike, let's be clear. Mike didn't play last night because of soreness.
Correct. And that's why he didn't play last Friday either, which was going to be resting up so that he could play Saturday at home, because the Grizzlies at home have been a completely different team.
So they're trying to win the games they think they can win.
Correct.
They're saving Mike
exactly
to win the games they think they can win, in which case last night was just a bonus, in which case we should be happy.
Correct.
And I should be celebrating. We should crank the music back up.
All right.
But don't do that.
Okay. Had two Chandler Parsons tweets.
Okay, that's fine. Let's crank the music. Yeah, and I have another rule. Anytime I can eat meatloaf, order meatloaf or bread pudding at a restaurant, I do it. And anytime I have a chance to play Chandler
Parsons. He's an acceptable douchebag.
Highlights, I do it. Johnny Manziel was there last night, too. Go ahead, fire him up. Chandler Parsons contributed to the cause.
Grant flew by. Parsons drives, glides to the basket, lays it in. Parsons pump fake got Jeremy Grant right up off the deck, and Chandler blows right by him for his first bucket.
I want Eric to be... Anytime, like, I need a PR campaign, I want Eric to tell the story, because I just find it very hard to believe that Chandler Parsons was gliding.
He was. No, I saw that one. He was absolutely gliding. The man has his glide back. Mm. He also, by the way, has his three-point touchback. Here's more Chandler Parsons.
DeLon Wright blows by Grant into the lane. Picks right sideline. Parsons open. Look at a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Chandler Parsons buries a right sideline triple. And the Grizz on top by 5. 41-36.
There you go. That's enough celebration. It was a crazy-ass game last night. The player, the longest tenured player in the starting lineup.
Chandler?
No.
Oh, not in the starting lineup.
In the starting lineup was Justin Holliday.
Yes.
Who has been here for 35 games. Your starters, ladies and gentlemen, were Bruno Caboclo, DeLon Wright, Jonas Valanciunas, and Tyler Dorsey. Those are along with Justin Holliday. That's your starting lineup for these Memphis Grizzlies. But,
and it resulted in a win, as everyone figured.
And it resulted as a win, as everyone figured. But the standings look like this. So you've got, you're not going to catch Atlanta now. So you've got the bottom five are established. New York, Phoenix, Cleveland, Chicago, and Atlanta. Okay? Then you've got Dallas with 29 wins. You're tied with, so you are
tied with Washington right now.
Tied with Washington for 7th and 8th, right?
Yes.
And then New Orleans has 31 wins and the Lakers have 32 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are both within catching distance.
Yes. You're a half a game behind New Orleans.
You're a half a game behind New Orleans and you're tied with Washington. And all you have to do is get past both of those and you're firmly in ninth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to catch the Lakers.
Correct.
It's all the screwing up that they've done of losing these games to these bad teams, they're still in a total, absolute prime position to convey.
Yes, they're in a battle.
And you're 100% on the convey train.
Yes, just because I think at this point, you're here. You can do this now. Like, almost every single draft, I understand, like, yes, you might have the draft where Victor Oladipo's the number two pick. You might have the draft where Anthony Bennett's the number one pick. But you're going to be high in another draft.
Eight games left, right?
Yes, you're right here. Like, this was what the whole goal was. Like,
just get rid of it.
Exactly. Pay your debt.
Pay your debt. And the other thing that does is that, yes.
It gives you control over the future because I completely agree with your point from last week. Like, it's so difficult to retool when nothing is clear, where you could have, well, we could do this, and you can make a legitimate case for that. Or we could do option B, and you make a legitimate case for that. Get to a place where there aren't that many options, where it's just, okay, let's move.
It's still going to be complicated, though. So let's say that let's say they convey the pick, okay?
All right.
Let's say they go ahead, convey the pick. They don't have a first-round pick this year, okay?
Okay.
Are you then going into full tank next year? Because next year and the next 2 years, you do have your picks. Or, in which case, what are you doing with Jonas? Like, do you want Jonas to be a part of this team? If you want Jonas to be a part of this team, are you going to be that bad? Do you want to be?
I think they've backed themselves in a corner. If you were asking me what I would do, yes, I would be going into full absolute.
They're not
going
to do that. Yeah, they're not going to do that, though. They would bring Jonas back. They would trade Mike. I think Mike, that's what I firmly believe, as I think is going to be driving this, is that I think Mike, he won't make this public. And I'm not saying this based on any conversation or his agent or whatever else. I think Mike will want to be traded. Not because he doesn't like Memphis, not just because he wants a chance to win. He wants a chance to, and he's not going to have that here. He's got, what, two more years of effective basketball left, right?
Yes.
Probably. Of high-level basketball left after this. And he'd like to spend those 2 years in pursuit of playoff wins, right? And so I would think. I'm just projecting me. I would. And so if I were Mike, I would ask the Grizzlies to trade me this summer, in which case you go ahead and you trade Mike and whatever. Maybe you slap together a roster. You bring Jonas back. Now, whether you bring him back by trying to get – seeing if he opts in on the $17.6 million or whether he signs a new deal, he opts out and then signs a longer-term deal with you, I don't know. You've got Kyle Anderson. You get some veteran point guard, whatever. You draft Darius Garland. No, you don't. You've conveyed the pick, so you have no draft pick. So you bring in Rubio or something, right?
Correct.
And then you're mediocre next year.
Right.
That's what they'll do.
If you're asking me, to me, the best, you've backed yourself into this weird corner. Your best chance of getting out of this corner, in my opinion, is to finish ninth. The reason why I think it is the best is because you still have the ultimate chance. You still have a 4.5% chance of getting Zion. You still got about, a 30% chance of getting a top four pick. And more importantly,
you're taking the thing off, right? Yeah,
like to me, like
and,
you
and
backed
it's right
yourself,
there. You're, you're half game out now.
Like you've backed yourself into this corner. Just get this done with.
Who do they have? Who are their last eight?
So you got the Warriors on Wednesday.
They got two games against the Warriors, but the last Warriors game could be the Warriors. The Warriors could just be resting everybody.
Exactly.
That is a winnable game.
Fingers crossed. So you've got the Warriors at home.
We'll
this
say that's
Wednesday.
Not winnable.
Yes.
Okay.
At Phoenix, should be winnable.
Winnable.
But they're a terrible road team. At the Clippers, they're going to be a significant underdog. At the Trailblazers, a significant underdog.
Trailblazers had a brutal injury last night. That was just brutal. But go ahead. Yeah, awful. So,
then you have a back-to-back. Well, it's not quite. You have 2 games in 3 days against the Mavericks at Dallas on Friday and then Sunday.
Both. You got to lose both ends of that doubleheader. You got to lose. I mean, you got to win both.
If you're Dallas, you got to lose both ends. I agree.
But if you're Mavericks, you got to win those two.
Correct. And then you get at Detroit, and then as you mentioned, the last game of the season. Golden State at home.
The perfect world, you beat Phoenix, beat Dallas twice, beat Detroit.
Yes. Huh? It's an Eastern Conference road team.
Right. And, right. They have like 3 wins over Eastern Conference.
Uh-huh.
And then you beat the Warriors at the end because they're resting.
Who are playing everybody. A G League team, hopefully.
And they're playing a G League team. That's doable. I think it's doable.
I think it's.
But
doable.
The year has been very frustrating, and then the other reason it's frustrating is, and we'll. It's what Gary brought up yesterday. We're talking to Gary Parrish in the next segment. The Manziel stuff. Now Manziel was at the game last night. He seems to like Memphis. Like I don't know if he does. He seems to. He seems to be knocking around. People. Memphis likes him. He likes Memphis. Like this whole thing could be an incredible love affair.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's our kind of guy. Redemption.
I know he gets this Hollywood thing because, like, he always wanted to be out in L.A. and whatnot, but at the end of the day, the kid's from San Antonio.
Right. And he's we reclaim things as a city, right?
Yes.
You look at the Sears building, right? We've turned it into beautiful crosstown. You look at the brewery downtown. It's condos. Like, we take things that are old and kicked around and look at Zach Randolph.
Yes.
And we reclaim them, and we make them better, and they're shiny, and the world looks at them a different way.
Yes.
That's what we do as a city.
Yes.
And we have the chance to be doing that with Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely right.
And he's hanging out with Chandler Parsons, and he's going to Grizzlies games, and everyone says he's been incredibly nice with the people that he runs into, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet they're not playing him. Here's my question.
And on top of that, he's talked about how wonderful, like, every time he's been here, he's like, this is exactly
this is
what
I need to be.
This is what
this
I need
is where
to be.
I need to
he's
be.
Never
where...
once been like, man, I got to.
Okay, but let me ask you this. So if we're all down with the play Johnny Manziel thing, which I think we are, right?
If you have, yes.
How do you now, if you wanted to, if you're the Express, right?
Yep.
And if you wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You have kind of, you were to say the Grizzlies have backed themselves in the corner. Haven't the Express backed themselves into a corner here?
Mike Singletary most certainly has.
But what do you do? You fire Mike Singletary? Well, I mean, being honest, like, you have to act like a real league. You're not a wrestling event. You can't, well, what do you really do? You're Bill Polian.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who pride their league on being a serious. That's the idea. It's a serious football league, right?
Yes, but everyone's acting like Johnny Manziel is a sideshow. He's not.
No.
He's a first round.
I'm not saying
pick.
That. What I'm saying is that to fire Singletary or to order them to reverse course.
Right.
You look stupid. That is the sideshow part.
Correct.
And so I don't know. I don't know how you. I'm trying to be constructive here. How do you, if the goal is to play Johnny Manziel, how do you accomplish that? Seriously, I don't think
the
you
same
can
way
now
that you accomplished
without looking like a sideshow.
The
you
same way that
have,
you accomplished getting Christian Hackenberg 2 starts.
Yes, but I'm not talking about. I'm saying now. Having said what he said. Now, I understood they could have done it, and you're exactly right. The point that you make with Christian Hackenberg, they did not let merit determine who was going to be the starter.
Yes.
If they had, they wouldn't have. And if they can do that for Christian Hackenberg because of some previously arranged deal, they can certainly have said, we're just going to play Johnny no matter what. I agree with all that. That's not what I'm asking about. I'm asking, given what happened Sunday.
Yes.
Given what they then said afterwards, how do you now, without looking like a sideshow, reverse course?
You just act like it was never said because 7 people listened to it anyway.
That looks like a sideshow. Okay, so take me through it. So what happens? What happens now? Do you come out Wednesday after practice, see and say, Johnny had a great, you know what,
absolutely.
Johnny
absolutely, he is, man, God, he has earned this spot. And you know what? Brandon Silvers has done nothing but, well, excuse me, Brian Silvers, as he likes to refer to him, or 12 now, as since he can't really remember his name, he just goes by the number. He has done everything, and what an outstanding young man, and he deserves another chance to play in this league. But we have a special football player in Johnny Manziel, and now that he has gotten his feet wet and he has got full command of this offense, he's earned his spot.
I think that's what you say. This is what you say.
He earned it.
He earned it in practice. These last two, we have really seen a light bulb come on.
Yes,
and you know, every day we've said this in the beginning for the Express. We compete every single day. Every day is a competition for the Express. You win the play on Saturday or Sunday is the way that you practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yep.
We evaluate every position every day, and the way that Johnny has come in and a light bulb has come on, he's been unbelievable, and Brandon's been good and solid, and he'll certainly get his chance if Johnny gets injured. But after what we've seen in practice these last few days, we've made the decision to start Johnny Manziel.
He's the only first round draft pick in this entire league that plays quarterback.
We owe it to ourselves to try to tap into what we've seen in practice the last few days.
Yes. We have the only person this team in
can
a
they
league.
Do that? Can they do that?
Sure.
With a straight face, could you say that?
Sure. I mean, the truth is, here's the other thing that everyone's acting like. Everyone is acting like Johnny Manziel, like, can't play. Like, that's just not
I'm just
case.
Saying they have created a PR problem for themselves.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not acting like they can't play. I'm just saying he has
This
created...
is why Brandon Silver shouldn't have started on Saturday.
I understand that, but all these things that they've done now, they've done.
Right. Get out of it.
And so that's...
Because guess what's going to happen as soon as Johnny starts? No one's going to care. Except for Brandon Silver's and maybe his family. And he's played well enough to earn the opportunity to play for someone else.
So you'd let him go?
Well, I'd try to trade him. I don't know if this league actually... I don't know if you can actually make trades in this league, but yeah, I would try.
I haven't heard of any trades.
I've not heard of a trade, but that's...
I bet they do trades.
That's a great thing to Google. Are trades legal in the AF?
I bet they can do trades. So they just come out after practice and say, after what we've seen,
yes,
this is the direction we're going to go.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you send them, drop a memo to the AAF folks.
I think I've been pretty clear. I haven't exactly been silenced on this matter.
No, you have not exactly been silenced on this matter. I don't know. And then, yes, that's what they should do. But there's no chance they're going to do that.
Well, no, but that's been my whole point all along. Like, this is so dumb.
It's kind of dumb.
This league has one person, and I understand that he did not work in the NFL, but this team has one person that was drafted in the first round playing the quarterback position. This league has one person. He is on your roster, and you have made the commitment to using him as a decoy by putting him on the bench.
All right. If you are noticing cracks in the walls of your home, your floors are sinking or sloping a little bit, could be the signs of a foundation problem. If you have a foundation problem, you have a serious problem, you need to get in touch with Redeemers Group. It's a local company that's been serving Memphis and the Mid-South for more than a decade, offers complete and permanent solutions at an affordable price. Your basement, let's just say your basement, or your crawl space, or your garage, water pouring in, call Redeemers Group. They can help you out. I had a friend, came, sealed it up, never had another problem. The number is 541-8765. They'll send an expert to your home, no cost at all. That expert will assess the situation and give you an estimate. At that point, you can decide what you want to do. If you want to proceed with the project, mention my name, Jeff Calkins, $50 off. If not, you've gotten a free analysis free. So give them a call. Again, it's Redeemers Group, 541-8765, or on the web, redeemersgroup.com. When we come back, joined by GP, Gary Parrish will join us. Jeff Calkins Show, 93.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Wiggins texted me the other day saying he was just back from Las Vegas, where they had a show with all of the latest in blinds, shades, shutters, all the things that they have at Affordable Blinds in Memphis that can transform your home. Chip, of course, lifelong Memphian, started the company. If you give them a call at 753-5822, 753-5822, they will come to your house, set an appointment up, show you all the options. You don't have to wrestle with all this stuff yourself. You don't got to go to a big box store and try to figure out how to measure this and install these things. He will do it all for you, price it out. And if you want to go ahead within 1 to 3 weeks, you know, new beautiful motorized blinds, cordless blinds, plantation shutters. Seriously, you can transform your home or businesses. Chip does restaurants all over town. Give him a call, 753-5822, 753-5822. That is Chip Wiggins and Affordable Blinds of Memphis. Go to their Facebook page or check them out at affordableblindsofmemphis.com. Joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish is the host of the Gary Parrish Show. Every single day here from 4 to 6 here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's also a college basketball columnist for CBSSports.com, a Emmy-winning television personality, a multiple rising star in the field of meteorology, and he joins me now. GP, how are you?
I'm good. You okay?
I am okay, yes. I was thinking this. What is a we moved on now. What is a good year for Penny next year? Because there's this sort of now there's this subtext of next year the expectations are going to be high and you know they may not be that good. Like they may not. I'm worried about this. What's good if they just get to the NCAA tournament and get knocked out in the first round? Is that good?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, be expected to advance in the NCAA tournament, you know, by definition, are supposed to be one of the best 32 teams in the country. It doesn't necessarily work that way, obviously, but I think that's where you set the bar. And the truth is, there's no guarantee they're going to be one of the 32 best teams in the country. You know, I mentioned last week when talking to you that when I started, because I had a lot of downtime in studio over the weekend. Like we've got so many people there this time of the year that I might have 3 hours of just waiting to get back on television while sitting in studio. And so I use that time to start working on projected lineups to try to do the preseason top 25-1 that I'll publish at CBS Sports on the night of the national championship game. And I was with John Rothstein, and we were sort of bouncing, rosters off of each other, who we think's coming back, who we think's leaving. And it's not clear that Memphis should be preseason top 25. I don't think everybody is going to have Memphis in their preseason top 25. Now, I will, but it'll be in the 20s, not the teens. And you can go look at the preseason AP poll from this past year, and there are plenty of teams in there that didn't make the NCAA tournament, didn't live up to expectations. Although, as is usually the case, it was pretty easy to recognize who was going to be the best team in the country. Long story, not so long. I think if you go to the NCAA tournament in year two, after basically losing most of the key contributors from your first team, I think that is success, yes.
Is it not reasonable to be one of the best 32 teams in the country when you have the best freshman in the country? When maybe the best player in the country? James Wiseman won't be the best player in the country next year, will he? See, it seems unlikely.
I don't think so. I mean,
who are the candidates already off the top of your head for player of the year next year?
Well, it obviously depends on
who
comes
goes,
back.
Right, but if the logical people go, who go? We're assuming Zion's not coming back and RJ's not coming back, and you know, you assume the logical people. Who are the who are your player of the year candidates?
Cassius Winston at Michigan State. I mean, he was the Big Ten Player of the Year this season. He's got a year of eligibility left, and he's not an obvious NBA player. So I'm assuming he's back, and if so, then he looks like a guy who could be a first-team All-American National Player of the Year. Carson Edwards at Purdue. Not sure if he's going to enter the draft or not, but he has a year of eligibility left, and he's obviously terrific. Another guy who fits the description as great college player, marginal NBA prospect. Grant Williams at Tennessee has a year of eligibility remaining. I don't know what else he can do in college unless he just wants to be, you know, Tyler Hansborough, a guy who maximizes his college eligibility and just stacks awards on top of awards. I think he's a borderline first round pick, so I would assume he goes, but there's no, you know, it's not obvious that he has to go. So if he's back in school, he's a National Player of the Year. And no, I don't think Wiseman, even though is a better prospect than any of those guys, I don't think he'll be a better college player than any of those guys.
I guess, you get him for 1 year, and if that's what you get out of him, I probably contrast this to Josh, and in the end, Josh was getting killed for going to the tournament and losing in either the first or, let's be honest, a couple times into the second round. I mean, he made it to the, didn't he? Because he twice, didn't he? We got Virginia the time they beat GW and the time they beat St. Mary's, wasn't it? Yeah, they got to the second round twice, and he was getting
correct.
Killed because he had high level talent and didn't accomplish. And so, but we think next year, I guess Penny gets the benefit of the doubt, partly because they've been out of the tournament for 5 years. I think that helps. It is progress. It doesn't just look like progress. It is progress. If it's Penny's fifth year and you're adding James Wiseman and you're getting to the first year, getting the first round, then people start clobbering you, just like, for example, they're clobbering Mick Cronin in Cincinnati. That was a question we asked yesterday. Would you take Cincinnati's program if you're a Cincinnati fan? Go to the tournament every year, get knocked out basically every year. 9 years, they've been, I think nine straight years, right? Nine straight years, and yet they've only gotten to the Sweet 16 once.
I mean, this is where you and I actually disagreed on what success is. I would take consistent NCAA tournament appearances, regardless of what happens when you get there, at a program like Cincinnati and at a program like the University of Memphis. You are right. Josh got killed for never going to a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, past the opening weekend. I was maybe the one guy out there saying, you shouldn't take NCAA tournament appearances for granted. I know that it's disappointing to get there and lose your first game or you lose your second game every single time. But, you know, going to the NCAA tournament is not a birthright at a place like the University of Memphis. And obviously they haven't been in a long time now. And so I don't want to say always, but for a long time, I have been somebody who judges whether a coach is doing a good job based on a 4 month season, as opposed to a 3 week tournament. And so like, at Cincinnati, I understand why it's frustrating to be a 2 seed and a 3 seed and still get bounced early, only go to one Sweet 16 in a 9 year period. But if you told me my options were go to a Sweet 16 every once in a while missing the NCAA tournament every 3 years, or going to the NCAA tournament 9 straight years and let's just see how it goes, I would take the put me in that bracket 9 straight years and we'll see how it goes. And I'd be willing to live with the results, even if the results might be disappointing.
I don't think you and I disagree as much as we think. I certainly wouldn't. I did not want to fire Josh until he missed the tournament twice and had nothing coming. And the crowds were cratering. When he was going to the tournament and getting knocked out and underachieving relative to expectations, relative to preseason ranking every single year, then I was writing, hey, hire an X and O guy. That's what I was writing. After they lost to Michigan State, got smashed by Michigan State, he got a new contract, and I said, good, right? And whether I should have or not, after they lost to Virginia, I wrote a column that infuriated him that said, hire an X and O guy. But then after he started losing players, fans, crowds, then I said, and not going to the tournament, then I said you have to fire him. There's no circumstances under the world on which I'd fire Mick Cronin. I'd try to figure, yeah, I do also believe that it is part of your resume, that in the end, over time, you should be not fired, but it is part of his resume. And his resume is, I go to tournaments and I don't get to Sweet 16. And after 8 or 9 chances, that's included in how you're defined. And that's fair, right?
Yeah, of course. Like including NCAA tournament results as part of somebody's bio is obviously a sensible thing to do. It just, I guess, Tony Bennett's going to run into the same thing, just at a different level. If he loses one of his next two games, if he does not get to a Final Four, that'll be, I think, 3 times as a number one seed. He has not got to the Final Four. He's the only coach to ever lose to a 16 seed in the round of 64. He is, ask anybody, one of the great basketball coaches at any level of the sport. What he's done at Virginia is amazing, and I don't think that's hyperbole. Amazing. And yet he will have big questions connected to him if Virginia doesn't get there, because they never get there, no matter how great they are in the regular season. And so, yes, you know, what happens once that tournament starts is a big part of your reputation. But in terms of is somebody doing a good job or a not good job, I try to look at the big picture as opposed to what can happen in a single elimination tournament of 40-minute basketball games. And to circle it back to the University of Memphis, I think where Josh got criticized wasn't just for never going to a Sweet 16, but it was having teams that were obviously good enough from a talent perspective to go to a Sweet 16 and then never getting there still. I don't know that Penny is going to have a team next season that is obviously one of the 16 most talented teams in the country. I guess that's my point. There were times when Josh didn't get to the Sweet 16 where you would go, that team underachieved relative to what it was supposed to be. But I think if Penny doesn't get to the round of 32, it won't necessarily be because the team underachieved. I mean, they are bringing back basically role players and enrolling, at this moment, 1 5-star freshman, a 4-star freshman, and some other, you know, borderline top 150 guys. It is incredible relative to where Memphis basketball recruiting has been recently. But this ain't Duke's class, and this ain't Kentucky's class, and this isn't the type of class that automatically makes you a top 10 team.
Right. By the way, while we're looking back at the past, our old friend, I've been hit two. It is funny how people want to keep continued. Not many people really want to debate Tubby. But two things have happened recently. One is the Lawsons infected their cancer in Kansas team. And so people have said, come at me with that. And then secondly, Tubby has lost his 2 highest scores to transfer. It's almost hard to believe. I think he goes 16-15 at High Point and loses his 2 highest scores to transfer. Like, you just like, oh, my goodness. So what do you make of either of those?
Well, first off, anybody connecting Kansas not winning the Big 12 or Kansas not making the Sweet 16 to the Lawsons is just, I mean, it's just dumb. The truth is this Kansas team that was led by Dedrick Lawson was ranked number one in the country when it was healthy, when it had all of its players. The fact that Kansas, you know, isn't on a string of now 15 consecutive Big 12 regular season titles or still alive in the 2019 NCAA tournament has literally nothing to do with the Lawsons. They got as far as they got because of the Lawsons, more specifically because of Dedrick Lawson. But they lost Udoka Azubuike to a season-ending hand injury, and LeGerald Vick left the team. They lost 2 starters. That if you want to not sound dumb when talking about Kansas, explain what happened to them by referencing the fact that they lost 2 starters. If Duke lost 2 starters, Duke isn't the same. If North Carolina lost 2 starters, North Carolina would not be the same. Kansas lost 2 starters, and so Kansas wasn't the same. It'd be one thing if Kansas was never good with Dedrick Lawson being its best player, except they were ranked number one in the country. And you hear Bill Self talk about Dedrick Lawson. He says that he's like, one of the best players we've had in our program ever. He says that he's the best passer for a big man that he's ever had. He talks about him in ways that make it very clear to anybody who's willing to listen that the problem with Kansas was not Dedrick Lawson. The problem with Kansas, to the extent that Kansas had a problem, was they didn't have enough stuff, things around Dedrick Lawson once Udoka Azubuike got hurt and once LeGerald Vick left the team. I mean, it really is as simple as that. And with Tubby, I mean, it is what it is. Right. You know, you have to be willing to re-recruit your players, especially at the mid-major level, but even at the University of Memphis level. And he has, for whatever reason, no interest in doing that. I told you when it happened. When they lost Markell Crawford to Ole Miss, he didn't even try to keep Markell Crawford. Like, Markell, I went to lunch with Markell at Houston's restaurant when he announced he was going to transfer, but I think had not announced yet where he was going. And Markell told me that from the time the season ended to the time he told Toby Smith, I am going to transfer, he had no contact whatsoever with Toby Smith. Not one phone call, not one in-person appearance, nothing. And it had already been rumored that Markell Crawford was maybe going to transfer. How on earth you can think one of your best players is going to transfer and you don't try to bring him back to campus, you don't try to prevent that from happening, is insane to me. It was insane when it happened. It's why I started pounding the desk and saying, you cannot allow this to have a third year, because if you do, it is only going to get worse. Nothing's going to get better. And so I'll be honest, I didn't really follow his season at High Point. It's so far off my radar. But it should be unsurprising in this era of players looking to transfer anytime somebody else flirts with them, that a coach who has no interest in re-recruiting his roster is losing key players once again.
Did you think it was a offensive foul against Zion? What were your thoughts on the last minute of that game, last 2 minutes of that game?
Well, first, it was wild. I thought Duke showed incredible composure because they were on the verge of going down six. I mean, they're down four, and UCF's out in transition, right, throws an alley-oop, and like it's about to be, if not game, you're in a really bad spot. And Duke had nothing to do with UCF missing the alley-oop, but they immediately take it to the other end. Cam Reddish knocks down a big-time shot. So what could have been a six-point game is suddenly a one-point game. And then they're down three, and Zion decided, like, I'm going to get this bucket. I'm not taking a jumper. I'm taking it right at the rim. And not just right at the rim, but I'm taking it right into Taco Fall's body. Because even Zion has to know that though he can go over just about anybody in the country, Taco Fall is the guy he can't. I mean, the dude is 7'6", and he took it right at his body and just big boyed him. And I guess you could argue it was maybe an offensive foul, but that call was always going to go the way that it went. And not because it was Zion, because it was Duke, but because the offensive player is usually going to get that call. And then Taco Fall's out of the game because that's his fifth foul, which is another reason that it was an awesome play. It didn't just pull Duke within one with a free throw to tie, but it got Taco Fall out of the game. And then literally the next thing that happens in the game is RJ Barrett gets an offensive rebound, sticks it back in, Duke wins. If Taco Fall is in the game, I don't believe RJ Barrett's able to get that offensive rebound. And so we can argue the call either way if you want, but I was super impressed by the way Duke handled that, because that kind of game pressure is, I think, more game pressure than you deal with in even an NBA Finals game. Because if you lose one game in the Finals, or even a seventh game in the Finals, there is always next season, you know, like, or always the next game if it's just like game two of the Finals. If Duke loses that game to Central Florida, it's over. You don't come back next year and try to do it again. You don't get a game two, back at Cameron Indoor. It's over. You will never play for this team with these guys again. And to have that kind of game pressure on you and still be able to perform at a high level, I thought was super impressive.
Should UCF have fouled at that point before he starts the drive, or is he starting the drive?
I think probably too much time on the clock. You can always argue that with hindsight, but I think – the reason you foul when you're up three is to prevent the three-pointer, usually with less than 8 seconds on the clock. It was pretty clear that Zion was taking the ball to the rim. And beyond that, if there's one team in America, you might not foul up three. One good team in America, it's Duke, because they are one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the entire sport. Now, they shot the ball decently, pretty well, actually, in that game, even if they didn't have a lot of three-point attempts relative to the rest of the sport. But that is their big flaw. And if they do get bounced at any point in this tournament, if they don't win a national championship, I would assume it'll come while they are missing too many three-pointers. Because even if Central Florida didn't beat them, Central Florida showed how to play them, which is, we're not going to guard Trey Jones at the three-point line. We're going to let Duke's guards take wide-open three-pointers, and we'll just trust that they're not going to make them, because we know what Zion and RJ can do at the rim. So we're going to try to take that stuff away and make Duke take jumpers. And the truth is, if you look at Duke's losses this season, almost without exception, they are all they all include terrible shooting performances from the perimeter. I think in their losses this season, they shot around 25% from the three-point line. And so, no, I would not have fouled Zion in that moment. For lots of reasons, including, that Duke can't shoot three-pointers. And I'm willing to live with them taking one, because that's a team that can't make them consistently.
And then finally, Tennessee. Obviously, Tennessee escaped. What do you make of their chances going forward?
I've got them in the Final Four. But, you know, the way this bracket has unfolded, there's no easy path. You know, sometimes somebody gets to the Sweet 16 and you go, oh, wow, this thing is really broken for them the right way. It's hard to imagine them not getting to the Final Four. I don't think that's true of anybody that's left in this bracket, because we've got four number one seeds, four number two seeds, four number three seeds, and a five seed and a 12 seed. So plus 2-4 seeds. So it's all top four seeds plus Oregon and Auburn. And Oregon and Auburn were both preseason top 15 teams that just won their power conference tournament. So they obviously nothing Cinderella about them. You can go back to the top 25 and one. I did last June, last summer, and 13 of the 16 Sweet 16 teams were in my top 21. And so I know the bracket doesn't usually unfold like this, but if you're a believer in the best teams should advance, that is basically what has happened. These teams not only were the best teams, on March 1st, but they were projected to be the best teams in June of 2018 based on roster assumptions. If you go back and look at the AP poll in the final week of January, I believe the top two seeds, so all the ones and all the twos, they were all in the top nine of the AP poll, eight teams in the top nine. So these teams have for a while established themselves as the best teams in the country. And it's why, yeah, the first and second round of the NCAA tournament might have been boring from an upset perspective, but the byproduct of getting a boring round of 64 and a boring round of 32 is that you get amazing matchups in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. So I've got Tennessee going to the Final Four, but I really do think we are in a situation now where any of the four teams in any regional could get to Minneapolis, and it wouldn't be that surprising. I'll have picks. You'll have picks. We could reasonably differ on those picks, but at this point, nothing surprising. Tennessee can get there. Virginia can get there. Anybody can get there. There's nothing but good teams left.
Thanks, GP. Talk to you at 5 o'clock.
I'll see you.
That is Gary Parrish. When we come back, Chris Harrington's going to join us. Jeff Gawkinshaw, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
hot Cheetos and Takis. I can't get enough of these hot Cheetos and Takis. Got my fingers stained red and I can't like get them off. You can catch me in my coat eating hot Cheetos and Takis.
Jeff Dawkins show. Let's do the Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Dawkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what is this that we're listening to?
That is, of course, Hot Cheetos and Takis, a viral kitty rap hip-hop hit from a few years ago. I'm sending that out today. It's a long-distance dedication to our mutual co-worker, Jennifer Biggs. She had Jared Boyd and I, another of our co-workers, on her podcast, her Destination Delicious podcast this week, to talk about chips and dips. And when Jared and I started joking about that song, she thought we made it up. But no, that is a real song.
So just the podcast is the Chips and Dip podcast is up. Is that right?
Yes. If you find it on the Daily Memphian site, or if you want to subscribe where you get your podcast, it's Destination Delicious is the name of Jennifer's podcast.
All right, just to tease it a little bit, this is a conversation about chips and dip in Memphis. The best.
Yeah, well, Jennifer has she's been having guests on various restaurateurs and chefs around town. She tried to slum it this week, and so she got me and Jared. And I guess some day in the past week was National Chip and Dip Day, and so she did a story about chips and dips in Memphis. But this was just a conversation about the subject generally in Memphis, outside of Memphis, what chips we like.
Are we a good chip? I have thoughts on whether we have good wings and good pizza and good Italian food and good whatever. But I don't know. The only chips or dips that come to mind are Las Delicias chips are very good. And that's about all I have to say on the whole matter of chips and dips. What else is there?
Well, we have notable local chip product. I mean, there's the obviously Las Delicias chips are a thing in Memphis. So they are always in my house. There's the Nicky's Hot Ass Potato Chips, which is a local product. And most famously of all is Poncho's Cheese Dip.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which is like, it's near the top of the Memphis food pyramid. I would say, I made this point on the podcast, as a native Arkansan, I had to rep for my home state. Arkansas claims to have invented cheese dip, and that's what they claim. If you go to like the Arkansas Encyclopedia of Arkansas, they claim that they invented cheese dip. And there's a restaurant in Little Rock that I ate at recently that has a cheese dip on the menu that it describes as being based on the five most famous Arkansas cheese dips.
What color do you like your Poncho's cheese dip? It comes in different flavors, right? It comes in a white and a yellow, right?
Yeah, I don't go beyond that. But I think I'm more like the yellow is the classic.
Right.
I tend to like white cheese dips, but with Poncho's, I think the yellow, that's the classic. More of an orange, really.
Are there any other places to get chip and dip?
We were mostly talking about like our preferences among bagged snacks. I was repping for the nacho cheese Dorito, but I have to say I took one for the team and did some reconnaissance with Jennifer for her story, and we went to the new Elwood Shells in Super Young, and they have, I think they call it a fondue,
right?
But it's basically a cheese dip that has all kinds of seafood in it.
How's that?
And shrimp. It's got spinach and mushrooms and various kinds of seafood, and it's served with tortilla chips, and it was delicious.
Okay. And what is your favorite bagged snack? You took a bullet for what you like, the basic nacho flavored Dorito. That's in your basic Dorito. Is that
I think the nacho cheese Dorito is the greatest of all name brand American snack foods.
I like it too. By the way, I think the spicy one is not that good. And the blue one, what the hell's that?
The Cool Ranch.
Awful. Relatively speaking, if you had a Cool Ranch in front of you or the classic nacho, it's not even close. I don't know why
This is why I'm being specific. The nacho cheese Dorito is the pinnacle of American branded snack food.
More than the a Lay's or a Ruffles potato chip or a...
by far. The closest competitor would be the Oreo. In terms of branded snack foods.
Branded snack foods. But if you're going chip, what would be the second best chip? Most fans.
There's nothing. I mean, I honestly have to be like the a fancy pants. I would get some kettle cooked potato chip or whatever. Right. But
I do like kettle cooked potato chips. They're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, people can catch the full podcast over at the Daily Memphian. So okay, onward with the Memphis Grizzlies. You wrote a piece. It is up at the Daily Memphian on a really strange night. Last night, when the Grizzlies, as you pointed out, the longest tenured Grizzly in the starting lineup was Justin Holiday. And how many? It was
35 games. He showed up in January. So all five Grizzly starters became Grizzlies in 2019.
And they beat Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Was there a particularly large number of – I heard some complaints about the Oklahoma City fans.
I didn't. There was the one guy, the middle-aged man wearing the full uniform, who people were tweeting about. Which was, other than that, I didn't notice.
Right, okay.
I guess I was so focused on the game. Right.
Right. Right, yes. The an unlikely victory, but a victory that does. I don't really understand what's been happening this last month. They're beating good teams and they're losing to crap teams. But here they are, a half a game from exactly where we all wanted them to be. Which is in ninth place from the bottom. It's astonishing.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the schedules for those teams the rest of the way. I'll do that today. I got a mailbag question of that effect, so I'll get into that. But the Grizzlies, obviously, the other teams, those other teams have no incentive to win. And the Grizzlies, you know, depending on your perspective, may or may not have an incentive to win. But that's organizationally. The players, and this is sort of what I wrote about, like, they sort of created a situation where the players on the floor all like have something to play for and something to prove. It's not a lot of times, you know, end of a season, you know, you guys are already under contract for next year or you know, you guys are sort of playing out the string and like, you know, Tyler Horsey's playing for his contract and DeLon Wright is playing for his contract and Jonas Valanciunas was been on the bench for Toronto all year and he's trying to prove he should be getting 30 minutes a game as a starter and, you know, Justin Holiday's playing for a contract and on and on.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you think if you look at the other lousy teams, they're not no one has ever thought that players tank. And when people talk about tanking, they talk right. about the deployment of players. So we're not talking right. about the players tank. They're talking about the choice of who you play, when you play, who you rest, who you trade, who you declare injured. That's what tanking looks like. Everyone assumes that the players do their best. But you think at some of these teams, they're going to have players with nothing to sort of do. So they're doing their best in a theoretical sense, but they're not playing their asses off like these Grizzlies are.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't committed that to study, but that would be my sense. I mean, I don't think you have many situations where you have so many players who not only are heading into free agency, but they are in situations where they're trying to prove something. You know, Tyler Dorsey wasn't getting to play at all. DeLon Wright was a fourth guard in Toronto. Jonas Valanciunas was coming off the bench. So they're not only playing for contracts, they're playing to prove that they are something more than what they were being treated as in a previous stop.
Right. Let me go through them because it was a fairly staggering performance from like all of them. Like they were all good. Every one of these guys who had something to prove, with the possible exception of Javon Carter, they were all good.
Yeah, I was looking mostly at the starters. But
yeah,
right.
But yes. Okay, let's start with Tyler Dorsey, 21 points. And I'll ask you the same question about all of them. What do we think of them, and what do we think about their future with the Grizzlies? So
I think Tyler Dorsey is changing things for himself. I really do. It's at the margins. I assumed as recently as a week ago, I assumed Tyler Dorsey wouldn't be back. And I don't think it's a guarantee that he's back. But he had, like DeLon Wright, he can be a restricted free agent if the Grizzlies submit a qualifying offer. And in his case, the qualifying offer is very small. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's like $1.5 million. It's sort of like a minimum level kind of thing. I have to look at the roster situation. It's not just a money thing. It's a roster spot question. But I think even this late in the season, you got to be careful putting too much stock in it. I think for a number that low, I think he probably has put himself in a position to at least have the qualifying offer submitted. And I don't think he's going to get some big offer or maybe any offer at all from anyone else. So I think if they submit the qualifying offer, there's a good chance he's just back on that, you know, for 1 year on that number.
And that, and you have seen enough, the last few games. Obviously, you had a big game.
Well, you got to have some cheap players on your roster. You got 15 players to fill, and, you know, they sort of have some tax issues. But you got to – and so, like, you know, if he's back with a qualifying offer, like, that's a little bit more than you're paying, you know, some undrafted rookie. But it's not that much more. And if you think he can, you know, he can play off your bench – you know, that might be worth doing.
All right. Next one's DeLon Wright, 18 and 13 last night. Career-high 13 assists. Nice game from DeLon Wright with Mike sitting out with soreness.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly want DeLon Wright back. I mean, they wouldn't have traded for him if they didn't.
Right.
So they will obviously extend the qualifying offer, and then it will be a matter of what offers he gets. I think there's got to be a cap on what they're willing to pay him. But I think the hope would be that that the restricted status tamps down the offers and you're able to get him back on what you think is a reasonable deal, much as you did Jamichael Green a couple years ago, right?
Right.
And so I think the good thing about DeLon Wright is he has more utility than your typical backup point guard because of his size. Even if Mike Conley is back, it's not just a guy who's playing 15 minutes a game behind Mike Conley. Because he can play with Mike Conley. He can play right. All kinds of different lineups. And so I think there's a very good chance he's back. I don't think that's really changed.
Jonas Valanciunas, 32 minutes. The minutes are going up for Jonas Valanciunas, and he was another double-double, 18 and 14.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he's not back. It's really just a question of whether he is back on the 1 year or whether he and the Grizzlies come to some arrangement to lock him up for multiple years.
What would a number be there? Like, what's the ballpark number that would make sense for both?
I think that's sort of hard to ascertain because I think if you're Valanciunas and you look at, you know, what your production has been, you probably think of a number that's a lot higher than I think what the actual market is. I think people are still sort of trying to get used to what the real effective market is for centers in the NBA now. I think if you just look at his numbers, you think, well, that's a $15 million a year guy or more, and I don't know if he is on a real market. And so, like, if I'm the Grizzlies, like, I'd probably be willing to do a 3-year deal at, like, $12 or $13 million a year. I don't know if I'm willing to do more than that, and if I don't know if he would take a deal that small. And so I sort of feel like there's a good chance he's just back on the
right. I think so too. And when he makes what's the 17-6 or whatever it is,
right?
I can see him think, why am I taking a pay cut? I'm putting up the best numbers of my life. I've come in here, you know, am I going to take?
Well, the other thing he could do is extend off of that, right?
Right.
He could opt into the 17-6 and then add years onto that. But is he willing to add years? That's going to be a significant pay cut off of that, which is what I would want if I'm the Grizzlies.
Right. Yep. Okay. Next one is Justin Holiday. He was 17-7-5 last night.
I think ideally you'd like to try to bring him back. I mean, you just traded for him, right? You gave up two future second-round picks. He's clearly a rotation-level wing in the NBA, which is something that has value. I just think when you look at everything, when you sit down with the cap sheet and look at all the situations the Grizzlies are dealing with, I don't think they can afford to bring him back, given their tax issues. And so I think it's unlikely that he is back.
Right. And then Bruno Caboclo, 24 points.
Yeah, I think Bruno's going to be back, I would assume, at this point. I mean, he's under contract. It is not fully guaranteed, so you can get off of him this summer if you want to. But it's like a minimum level deal. And, I mean, he has been inconsistent. But even at the lower range of what he's done, he's so long that I think he helps you defensively. And last night, I mean, that may be the best game he ever plays in his life. But you saw, like, there's real upside with him. I mean, in terms of his length and his versatility and that he is a viable three-point shooter, like, he's a really intriguing player.
Yeah. And then I know this was not the focus of your story, but you did point out that Javon Carter – came in 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 17 minutes, but he was 0-7. He can't shoot.
Yeah, I mean, that's really looking like a bad pick. I mean, who knows? I mean, he's a rookie. He can make a big leap next season. I mean, Andrew Harrison, once upon a time, was one of the worst shooters in the NBA as a rookie. He took a big leap in year two. And then he was out of the league shortly after that.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know what the future holds with Javon Carter. But clearly, if you redid the draft, I mean, no one has ever said this, but I think it's pretty transparent that you would not take Javon Carter if you had to do it over again.
Right. Okay, and then finally, Jeffrey and I did this earlier, and I wanted Jeffrey, call up the Grizzlies. You said you're going to go through the other team's schedules. We went through the Grizzlies' schedule earlier today, trying to figure out what seems reasonable, the number of wins it's reasonable to expect. They've got the Warriors, then they go on the road, and they've got Phoenix.
So the Warriors on Wednesday at home, at Phoenix on Saturday. That is a back-to-back with Sunday at the Clippers, Wednesday at Portland, Friday at Dallas. They come back and take on Dallas at home on Sunday, at Detroit on Tuesday before wrapping the season with Golden State at home on a Wednesday.
How many wins of that can I, that's eight games, how many wins can I dream of?
I think they may fail through the 500. You want to assume like the Golden State games are both losses because Golden State is still playing for that top seed. But who knows? I mean, they just lost that to Dallas by like 30, right?
Right. So and the last game, it may be settled. The last game, they may be playing for nothing. And so that I think you can pick off a win there. That's my hope there, is pick off a win there.
So let's say you lose at the Clippers, who are still in playoff jockeying position. You lose at Detroit, still jockeying for position. Let's say you lose the first one against Golden State, even at home.
Right.
So there's three losses there. But the rest of that, you know, the Dallas games are what loom as particularly intriguing relative to the whole draft situation, right?
Right. You gotta win both of those games. You got to win one of the Golden State games. Then you got to pick off another one somewhere. And then that's four. And I think
Phoenix is horrible. And Portland, I think they just beat Portland recently. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I think they did.
And obviously Portland just had this devastating injury.
Right.
Yeah, that was awful. But still, that's a tough one. They will not be favored to win that game. But yes, no. beat Phoenix, beat Golden State once, the last game when they play their G League team, and sweep Dallas, right?
And that's my assumption is if they went 4-4, that they would end up in the ninth slot. Because I just assume that the other teams around them are likely to have losing records.
Right.
You know, going forward.
God, this is very tense. And as you pointed out, this will be the first season ever that they will be in 30 wins?
Yep.
Amazing. They've either been awful or pretty darn good.
There was the one year where they won 28 and the one year where they won 40. But other than that, they've either been terrible or good. And they've never been in that 30-win, purely mediocre range.
This is an interesting year, though. Are they really that, or were they just really good at the beginning of the season and then awful? Like, in other words, are they actually kind of a 20-win team that just had this weird – I understand every season.
Well, look at what they're – I mean, first of all, they've been different teams, right?
Right.
And so they haven't been one team. They've been at least two different teams. Remember the year when they had all the massive injuries and it was like they set an NBA record with 28 players?
Right.
They played 26 this season. 28 was a record at whatever year that was, two or three years ago. 28 was a record for number of players to appear for one team in a season. They played 26 players this season. So they're sort of a different team than they were. But, I mean, you got to not to be too optimistic about it, but, like, they've been, like, a very competitive team since the All-Star break, like sort of a 500-y kind of team. But they've done that without Jaren Jackson Jr. or Kyle Anderson or Dylan Brooks. I think if you put everything together, I think they probably will be what their record says they are for the season.
Chris, thanks very much. I will talk to you tomorrow. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington. When we come back, we'll do a quick game of Believe It or Not and Mel Kiper's draft 3.0. How many of these does he do? How many?
I think they get up to six.
Draft 3.0. is out. We're only like a month away. Is that right? It's I think we're like a month away.
Yeah, it's the last week of April, isn't it?
And by the way, Memphis Pro Day tomorrow. I'm continually interested in what people think of Daryl Henderson. I think it's fascinating where he's going to go. But we'll be back in a moment. Jeff Cockinger, 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back at the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's play a quick game of Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It.
Believe. I don't even know if I believe.
No, I'm a believer.
Or not. Believe It or Not on the Jeff Calkins Show.
Nacho Doritos are, in fact, America's definitive snack food.
Believe it or not.
100%. I mean, it's the most versatile of all the chips. Everyone acts like, okay.
You can't dip one, though. They don't really dip a Dorito. Well, you don't. They got enough flavor packed in.
Listen, if you got enough fat kid tendencies, you can dip that bad boy in just about anything.
You pairs Doritos.
Pairs very nicely with a Poncho's cheese dip. that way you get the really. Now, here's the other thing. Don't also sleep.
What else would be? Now he meant snack food. He put cookies in there too. Like, how about the Twinkie? But Twinkies are kind of 70s, aren't they? They're, no. Does anyone ever eat a Twinkie anymore? Or a Ho Ho? Or a ding dong.
Yeah,
or
I feel like Hostess is past its prime.
I think those are kind of yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how about a Ritz cracker? Isn't it, isn't the Ritz cracker?
Just as, feel like it's while it is salty enough, it doesn't.
It's not as good. I'm not saying it's as good, but I'm talking about brand, the classic American
Goldfish.
Goldfish are big.
And there I would still submit that the Flavor Blasted Goldfish extra nacho cheese in the same vein as the nacho cheese Dorito.
Flavor Blasted.
Oh, my gosh. It is just – I don't know what they put on it.
I think well, look at best-selling chips in America.
Okay.
Best-selling chips in America. I think Doritos easily. And I think a ranch Dorito is stupid, just stupid. Awful. What a stupid idea. Ranch anything.
I'm going to say, I'm also just, the biggest problem is I'm not the biggest chip. I mean, I'm not the biggest ranch guy. No, I'm a huge chip guy.
I do like chips.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was almost misleading.
Chips are a severe weakness of mine. Okay, while you do that, I'm going to ask you a second one.
Okay, according to the latest data, which was from 2015, surely we have more than that, right? According to the latest data, the top 10 selling were, number one was Lay's.
Why would that be?
I just think because it's just easy.
You just grab a bag of Lay's?
And I also bet a lot of this is food service, and I bet like a lot of just...
People just put potato chips on your tray.
Yeah. Ruffles was number two. I'm not a Ruffles guy.
I like Ruffles, and I think they're a classic American brand.
I mean, I agree with you on that.
Lay's is too. They're not that good or interesting, but go ahead. What's next?
They're both made by Frito-Lay. Pringles, a Kellogg product, comes in at number three. Wavy Lay's. Why would Frito-Lay say, why would they sell Ruffles and Wavy Lay's? It's the same thing.
What is a Wavy Lay as opposed to a Ruffle?
Same thing. It looks like a Ruffle.
Is it really?
Yes. It legitimately looks like they're probably not as...
All right, so when we get into Doritos, what's next?
They are not even in the top 10.
What? Yes. What else?
Five is Lay's Kettle Cooked Chips.
How
no problem
can Lay's Kettle Cooked? Maybe this is just a chip thing. Maybe it's not a...
Oh, you are correct. So this is based on potato chips. So Frito-Lay comes
Thank
in.
You.
It's part of the tortilla.
I've never been more concerned about America.
It's part of the tortilla tostada chip, and based on sales, it would be the number two chip behind the Lay's.
Thank God.
Doritos. They sold $1.986 billion. Through the year
What's in
end
the, what
of
else is in that category?
So then you have Tostitos, Tostitos scoops.
Yeah, I guess I like the scoop, by the way.
Scoops
are good.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Number two, New England Patriots will acquire Josh Rosen with their first round pick.
Believe it or not.
That feels right because I want the Giants to acquire him, so therefore they will not acquire him. So it seems to be the team that is most likely to acquire.
And they won't skip a beat.
Right.
Evil Empire just continues to roll on. I think it probably...
That makes sense.
Under the theory of... Same thing. It's the thing that I least want to happen in sports.
Mm-hmm.
It will happen. I bring this up because in the... So I said Mel's next mock is out.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the Patriots taking Irv Smith. Which makes sense, right?
Correct.
You got the Alabama thing going there.
Yep.
Gronk just retired.
Mm-hmm.
They need a tight end. He had a good combine. So you got Irv Smith from Alabama going to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes all the sense in the world unless the Patriots trade the pick for Josh Rosen, which I can absolutely see happening. They have, Mel on his top, by the way, has the Arizona Cardinals taking Kyler Murray.
Yep.
We do think that's going to happen, right?
That seems to be wildly obvious to me at this point. Nick Bosa going number two to the Niners. He's widely thought of as the best player.
Josh Allen to the Jets at number three. Quinnen Williams to the Raiders at number four. Devin White from the Buccaneers from LSU, blisteringly fast linebacker at number five to Tampa. Dwayne Haskins, your New York Giants take Dwayne Haskins, Juwan Taylor to Jacksonville, Montez Sweat to the Detroit Lions from Mississippi State, Rashawn Gary to my beloved Buffalo Bills, and TJ Hockenson to Denver. Thoughts on that?
I still, based on what I've seen, I will be surprised if the Giants take Dwayne Haskins at six. It would not surprise me if they take a quarterback at six, but based on what I've seen, I think they like Drew Lock better than they like. I think they like Drew Lock better than they like Dwayne Haskins. I think they view Haskins.
And do you like Drew Lock? Do you like Drew Lock better than they like Haskins?
Yes, I do. I think Drew Lock's problems are. I think Drew Lock's problems are very similar to Eli Manning's coming out of college, in that a lot of it was not ability. A lot of it was decision making, footwork, and just kind of gunslinger mentality. I still contend Dwayne Haskins had an unbelievable offensive line. He had the amount of time to throw that you will never see in the NFL, and I still don't think he's accurate enough to be an elite-level NFL quarterback. I think Drew Lock most certainly has question marks. I think he's far from a sure thing. But if you're asking me to bet on one or the other, I'd bet on Drew Lock.
Okay. Others of interest, DK Metcalf.
Going at 12.
They have going at 12 to the Green Bay Packers.
That makes sense to me a lot.
It does make sense to you a lot.
Yes.
And Drew Lock, they have going to the Miami Dolphins. Ed Oliver, interesting. He was once upon a time talked about as the number one pick in the draft. Most people have him bottom half of the top 10 into the teens. Obviously, the defensive tackle from Houston. And it doesn't seem to be like the whole Houston thing, not playing, wearing the coat. None of that
matters.
It's not that at all. It's that people think he's too small. They don't think he's too small. They still think he's good. But he's not going to be the number one pick because, A, he's too small, and, B, he is not a sack guy. Like, he's been great against the run, but he's not a pressure generator. And so that's...
I believe that's also the Aaron Donald pick, first-round 13th pick. Same problem with Aaron Donald coming out of college. Was people...
Well, they thought he was too small.
Right.
Did they think he was too small?
Oh,
I think that was, they thought he was too small.
Yeah.
Okay. The Mets and DeGroff smart to reach the deal that they reached just today, right?
Correct.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, Jake DeGrom. Yeah, that's
Jake DeGrom.
Yeah. It's a 5-year deal, so it's not. It's when I get scared is when you have a guy that's had elbow problems and then you start getting these.
He's got 2 years left, though, doesn't he? I think he had 2 years left. So it's interesting that they locked him up, and interesting he decided not to go all the way to free agency, and interesting they decided to lock him up. I think he had 2 years left on his deal.
Did they tear it up, though, or is this extension?
In other words, nobody had to do this.
Correct.
Nobody had to do this.
Correct.
I think it makes sense.
Yes. It's the same.
He's going to be a multiple Cy Young winner.
To me, it's the exact same thing. It was always my problem as a Cardinals fan with the whole Pujols contract. I had no problem when they got down to the end when it was the Angels offering 10 years at that price versus the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals were smart to do that. But I think where their mistake was, they got him for so cheap for so long, they should have ripped his deal up after 5 years, ripped it up and say, okay, let's just make sure that you break all your records as a Cardinal and we're not going to sit up giving you a 10-year deal into your late 30s, even possibly to your 40s, I think this is very smart what they're doing with DeGrom. Like, when we see these guys that are hard-throwing guys that throw sliders, their elbows do not tend to last forever. I think it's smart. Don't get into this weird, we want to pay you. We don't want to pay you too late and whatnot. Like, lock him up now, and I think it was a smart move.
Yeah. You would like a clone of your dog when your dog dies.
Believe it or not.
I bring this up
because this woman paid $50,000. I didn't even realize this was actually possible, okay? But this is.
I didn't realize it was retail, like commercial value.
Like, you can go, there is a place that does this. It's called, let me just look here. It's called, okay, here it is. Via Gen Pets, okay? It's a Texas company, Via Gen Pets, that will clone your dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will have identical dogs that are genetically identical to your current dog. She got three identical puppies, and then she is, she's going to keep doing this. She just likes her dog.
Correct.
Like, this actual dog, as opposed to this breed of dog. She
Correct.
Wants this dog, okay?
Right.
A dog that has all the characteristics of this dog. I don't know how, do you have any sense, like, if I had cloned Libby.
Right.
Would the cloned Libby be Libby, or would it just be a lot like Libby?
I think it would be a lot like Libby. I also...
Let's just pretend all it right. would be exactly Libby.
Okay.
Okay? If you could, and let's pretend it's not 50 grand. Let's just say whatever you would normally pay for a dog, you can instead get a clone dog.
Okay.
Instead of, you have a choice of puppies here. And I understand everyone should go and adopt at a rescue. So, mm-hmm. right, that's what they really should be doing. So I get that. That goes without saying.
Right.
In this theoretical world,
I'm
however,
a hero, by the way.
You're presented, because you did.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yours. Where'd you get yours?
The Oxford Lafayette Humane Society.
And you're a hero. And that's what everybody uh-huh. should do, and I endorse it fully.
Let's say that one more time.
So you're a hero. Mm-hmm. So, but here now, in this situation, you go to the shelter,
yeah.
and they say, Jeffrey, we actually have two puppies here. Weirdly enough, one of them is just the same... just a nice puppy that seems to be kind of like yours, but whatever, he wandered
right.
in off the streets. And then, oddly enough, we have one that is exactly your cloned dog. Was someone brought him in earlier today. They must have stolen some of your DNA when you were out on a walk. Would you want that? Would you want that?
In that situation, I think I go yes.
Well, then the dog already exists.
Right.
So now I guess we're not going to do that.
But like
the new hypothetical is,
yeah.
is you can, for a very limited
For the same price
as adopting a dog at a shelter, put aside the whole being a good person.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
We're just saying, do you think this is, would you want that?
I don't think so, and here's why. At a certain point, I think when we start playing God, I just think it's unnatural. Like, for instance, I'm not saying, like, oh, I don't believe in science and I don't believe in... But this also feels like we're very, very early in the cloning process. And it also feels like...
I mean, the dog is going to turn on you someday.
Exactly.
Like Jurassic Park.
Exactly. I'm just saying, seen a lot of movies.
No. We're going to put all of that aside. You get the perfect exact... And so the only reason not... I think I still wouldn't do it.
Like, it's not
weird. I do not believe that I will ever love a dog and have as good a dog as Libby. I just can't. Like, that was my lifetime dog. But I still don't want Libby again. Like, I just, like, I'll have a new dog. Like, Willow has her own charms. She follows me around more than Libby does. Like, she's totally at my side all the time. She's an absolutely adorable 100-pound lap dog. And she's not Libby, and she's not as great as Libby, but she's great in her own way. I just want a different great. I don't think I want the clone dog.
There's also...
And it is weird. The whole thing is also, putting aside, it's creepy.
Like, and there's also the idea of, like, I understand that there's always going to be... I need to figure out if my dad would clone his dog right now, because I think the answer is probably yes. But the whole point is, like, you always think, like, you can't do better than this dog. And you probably
do. I won't ever do better than
Carly. Exactly.
You think you might?
No. It's not even that I think I'll ever do better than Carly. But you do have other dogs that you love. Like to me, there's this idea that you can only just do one. Like, Yeah, by the way, my dad totally would do it with his dog.
I
was stalling because I wanted to figure out if my dad would do it.
He would absolutely clone his dog.
And I get it. Like, my family dog is there. He is quite unique, but I don't know. I don't think I could do that.
All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, Penny Hardaway is having a presser today, an end of the season presser today. I will tell you what's going to happen.
My dad also adds he would clone him and again and again and again.
I will tell you what is going to happen at the Memphis with the Memphis offseason this summer. I will let you know. I'll give you a preview when we come back. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen. I just said,
It is time to call Jameson Lawn. Seriously, it is. I'm telling you, it's time. They are now making regular stops at my house. I come home, I see the little green tie on the gate, which means they've been there. There's a little note explaining all the wonderful things they have done and how the bare spots on my lawn are no longer going to be bare spots. And the weeds are no longer just going to be a collection of weeds. They've been doing this since 1939. Like, it's a local Memphis company. It's been here since 1939. They're taking care of my lawn. They honestly, I said before, they thought about, back in the 90s, they thought about getting out of the lawn care part of the deal because it was impossible. Then they came upon a new system. And since then, they've seen nothing but growth, A, in the lawn, and B, in their business, and three, in customer satisfaction. It's an all-liquid program, combines fertility program, addressing the needs of not just the blade of the grass, but also the roots. I'm telling you, it'll transform your lawn and your life. So give them a call. Phone number is 452-1505, 452-1505, or JamesonPest.com. Let's wrap this baby up.
Now, it's the closing argument.
All right, so a few things we have to get to, Jeffrey. One is, Penny is having his presser today, and I'll just go ahead and tell you. So, Victor Eno is going to leave.
Okay. Not really a surprise there.
Antoine Jones is going to be back.
Okay.
Tyler Harris, of course, is going to be back. David Wingett is going to be back. Isaiah Maurice... He's going to be back. I think. I don't know that that wildly. I don't know that it inspires quite like that. On the coaching staff, all I know is what John tells me on the coaches. Like, John is my coaching staff expert, and John seems to be thinking that they're well, he said it last week on my show, and I continue to ask him for updates. And he believes that the staff will be backed intact. I think that's what he believes. I think that's what. Listen, his show is from 11 to 2. You can listen. I recommend you listen to it. A lot of it's devoted to the future of Mike Miller. And so, but the my understanding, I believe that the staff will be back. And if the staff is back, that means that recruiting will go well. And that means that they will get some combination. I believe they will get two out of the three players that we have identified. Precious Achiuwa, I'm now all of a sudden I literally just my Lester Quinones,
right,
and
Trenton
Watford. Yes, thank you.
I think
they get two out of three of them.
It seems like whoever's going to be the new Alabama staff. It seems like it's going to be highly encouraged that staff include Trenton Watford's coach on that staff.
He seems to be a high priority on that staff. And then we'll see. And then they will be ranked in the top 25. They will go to the NCAA tournament. They will have some disappointing losses that make people say, what the hell's going on? that some of that will happen. They will, and there will be the first overreaction to some losses next year.
Looking forward to it.
I know. They will make the NCAA tournament, and then they will not get to the Sweet 16. They'll win a game.
Okay. Let me write that down.
What do you think?
I think all of those seem likely.
I don't know that, and yeah, that's my prediction. That's my early prediction. That is Jeff 1.0. That is Jeff 1.0 can be revised as soon as Penny talks today. Second thing we have to talk about is, did you see the lineup for the spring game?
I did not. I did hear, though, I heard rumblings that that this show was going to have a coach, and they chose the guy that doesn't eat, sleep, drink, and think about, like, doesn't draw plays in his free time.
You're offended. You're
not
offended.
I understand. Listen, I understand at the end of the day, you know, you're hiring, you know, they could have gone and gotten Sean McVay, but they chose to go and get.
You think this is like playing Brandon Silvers?
I think they chose the bigger name.
Well, let's give them the news first. So the news
I think they chose the better name rather than the better qualified.
The news is April 12th, Friday night stripes. The spring game, the play calling is going to be turned over to called TV versus radio. I'm representing radio, and I'm sure everyone else in radio is thrilled that I'm representing radio. Some have pointed out that it's two white guys against two black guys, but I don't really think it's TV versus radio. This is not this is nothing other than TV versus radio. Also, two people who played football and know something about football versus two schlubs.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. And the schlubs are me and Dave Volosian. I will be calling the offensive plays. Dave Volosian will be calling the defensive plays.
Yeah, I've always thought of you as more of an offensive mind. You need control of the game.
I'm more of an offensive mind. And then
have you been in the lab? Have you been cooking up plays? Do we need to get you a grease board in here?
I think we'll need some of that. And Doc Holliday and Jarvis Greer will be on the other side.
Two former Tigers.
You know what I think? I think this whole what is the trend in football coaches right now? Is it do you want some meathead who played? Not that I'm calling Jarvis a meathead.
No.
Do you want some meathead former coach? Mm-hmm. Or do you want? I mean, listen. Let me ask you: did Bill Belichick play football at pro football at high? Did he play at a high level?
He did not.
No,
Jeff.
He didn't. Where did he go to school?
Wesleyan.
He went to a snooty Eastern school,
liberal arts school.
Just a smart dude who grinds.
Now,
what do I
Nick
do?
Nick Saban.
What do I do if not grind?
Good point.
The other team is a couple of former football players. Who are gonna think they're gonna be cocky?
100%.
They're gonna look over at me and Wolo, particularly Wolo, and they're gonna think we got these guys crushed.
Yeah,
and they're not gonna prepare the way I'm gonna prepare. They're not gonna think outside the box the way I'm gonna think outside the box.
I need you to get
Doc Holliday's probably gonna call his own number.
I need it. Well, that's a good point.
And
but
not,
Doc
it's also probably a good idea.
I was gonna say Doc could probably still get some
yes,
yards.
Exactly. Doc could still. Let's be honest. Yeah. I'm a little worried. I'm gonna have to. I'll be honest. I don't want to create any dissension on my team.
Yeah.
But in order to win, I think I'm going to have to put up some big numbers.
Yeah. I need you to go with the Gruden break apart readers glasses that he keeps on
Should I do visor? Should I do readers? I often have my readers on my nose.
Right.
Is that bad?
No, I mean that's the Gruden, new Gruden. But I want you to have the kind that break apart in the middle,
yeah.
So that way, when you're over on the sideline, you can't. Because that's the thing, you can't yell with readers on. You can't really inspire. You're not gonna inspire fear with anyone. No one's gonna be afraid of you when you're yelling with the readers on.
You think I need Brady to be afraid of me?
Right. So again, when everybody says you don't play your best when you're afraid, I completely disagree with that. I always played better when I was scared.
Here's what I've noticed so far, and I've noticed a lot of disrespect being tossed at me and Wolo. And
can't imagine why.
And I don't appreciate it. I think it's uncalled for. People clearly don't know my football background. And we are going to come out and we are going to surprise a lot of people on that day. Friday night stripes, April 12th at 7 p.m. Come and watch me and Wolo. Remember Doc when he did the battle balls?
I do.
It was with Kevin Leip?
Yes.
I think it was Kevin Leip.
Uh-huh.
Right? I am going to be the Doc Holliday in this scenario.
You're going to be reversing the role.
And he is going to be Kevin Light.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to wish he had never even entered this thing. It's going to be humiliating for him. And I'm not going to take no prisoners. That's the way I just approach it.
You know, people don't understand. I went to an Ivy League college.
Right. And I'm going to remind people.
Brains over brawn.
So bring the hate. Bring the hate, people. I feel it. Bring the hate.
Need me to put together your game plan?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you got it.
I'm got it, man. I've got my game plan. And then you also pointed out there is a nice event, sweet event, sad event, bittersweet event tonight as Memphis and Ole Miss play.
Yes, tonight at AutoZone Park. Memphis and Ole Miss will play their yearly game that they play at AutoZone Park. The University of Memphis coach, Sean Rock, will be honoring Colin Kilgore. Colin Kilgore was the young man that graduated from Christian Brothers. He was supposed to be a Memphis signee. This would have been his senior year at the University of Memphis. He passed away in a horrific accident. The young man, he played for, I mean, heck, honestly, he played for me, but he played on my dad's youth baseball teams all growing up. The family is going to be throwing out the first pitch. It's an outstanding event because both teams have a lot of Colin's former teammates, whether it be high school teammates, youth baseball teammates. Both teams have Connor Green, who's now pitching well for Memphis, played on those teams growing up. Mike Fitzsimmons played with Colin when they were 8, 9, and 10, and then
I mean,
terrible.
That story, you just hate that story. I mean, and as a dad of three boys, it's what you're terrified of, right?
Yes,
absolutely terrified.
It's the worst news you can get.
Yeah. Anyway, that should be a nice event tonight.
Yes.
He would be graduating
AutoZone
this
Park
year.
6 o'clock.
AutoZone Park at 6 o'clock. What is next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Andy Kennedy, former Ole Miss men's basketball head coach, current SEC Network and ESPN analyst, will join to discuss college basketball at 11:25. Jalen Richard will join as well. Of course, the Oakland Raiders running back, former USM star. All of that again today coming up on the Jason and John Show. It's Grizzlies Analyst Tuesday on the Eric Haston Show, 2:25 for that. Brandon Lang will also join the program at 3:25. Gary Parrish will be live today. Keith Easterwood at 4:25. Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock.
We will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. But for now, our work here is done.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.